Okay. Before we begin, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly Book, it's page 368, the third full paragraph. In the second edition, it's page 321, paragraph 4. In the first edition, it's page 299, the first full paragraph. If you're reading from the JCIM, it's page 154, the seventh full paragraph. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 310, paragraph 82. Okay. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. Well, we're reading from a section entitled The Holy Instant and Real Relationships. And we found that the first sentence said, The Holy Instant does not replace the need for learning. For the Holy Spirit must not leave you as your teacher until the Holy Instant has extended far beyond time. Which simply means until the Holy Instant has moved you beyond the place where you're only experiencing holy instants, an instant here, an instant there, but where you are moved beyond time entirely. And the learning is complete, and your mind is integrated. It's no longer the Holy Spirit and your private, puny, little, arrogant, self-important, self-expressive mentality. Learning is very key here, because although you can absorb information, it doesn't necessarily mean that that information changes you. You can be full of information that doesn't cause any growth whatsoever, doesn't cause any learning whatsoever. And learning is the key factor. The Bible says, Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Well, transformation is a good word for learning, isn't it? Transformation means that the form of the thing has changed, has become something new. Be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Well, how does that renewing of your mind occur? In the holy instant. Learning occurs when you say, What is the truth here, Father? In other words, when instead of providing the meaning and providing the definition and asserting it, you back off a little and you are willing to acquiesce to another point of view, another way of looking at it. But not just another way of looking at it, because you're specifically asking the Holy Spirit, who is the voice for God, or which is the voice for God, the voice for truth. So, what you are inviting is transformation in you as a result of the renewing of your mind, which will inevitably occur when you ask of that which will be telling you the truth, the ultimate truth, revealing to you the real experience of what things are, of what creation is, of what the meaning is of everything, you see? Be transformed. Be ye not like you were yesterday. Be ye not like you were just before that holy instant. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind is another way of describing, translating radical idealism into practical realism. Now, all of this is very important. Because learning must occur, or you will not wake up. Learning will occur, or the Holy Spirit will not have accomplished its function. That which is nothing more than your right mind will not have succeeded in reuniting all of you, all of what you are, so that there is no longer an imagined portion of yourself that you are choosing to identify as the whole of yourself. And you have yielded and let that private little tiny portion of the totality of you be released into the totality of you. Ah, now that which is nothing more than your right mind becomes the renewing of your mind, which means the transformation of you, called waking up, called returning to your sanity. Now, we have to stress the learning part. We have to stress the change part. So that you might, for lack of better words, apply yourself in the direction of actual change and not just a different frame of mind, a beautiful spiritual frame of mind. That amounts to radical idealism that hasn't been translated into practical realism, where the allness of God hasn't yet been made real to you where you are. Now, we ended last time discussing the fact that, as this section is called, the holy instant and real relationships, the real relationship is with God. And then, from the perspective you find yourself having as a result of experiencing the real relationship with God, you have a holy relationship with your brother. And that is the specific order of things. I'm going to go into the book. Think but an instant on this. God gave the sonship to you to ensure your perfect creation. A little bit difficult to comprehend, because the sonship, of course, would be all the sons and daughters of God, the whole family. No one left out. God gave the sonship to you to ensure your perfect creation. Why would that ensure your perfect creation? Because if any minute part of the allness of God, if just one of the sonship, one of your brothers or sisters, was not given to you, was left outside of you, you would not be whole. You would not be the full representation of the mind that is God. So God gave the sonship to you to ensure your perfect creation. This was his gift. For as he withheld himself not from you, he withheld not his creation. Absolutely nothing was withheld from you. Nothing that ever was created but is yours. Your relationships are with the universe. What a statement. Your relationships are with the universe. So, let's talk for a moment about learning. In other words, there's going to be some learning about learning. If your relationships are universal, if they are with the universe, and there's no other option available to you, then obviously the experience of it is not going to be like anything you comprehend at the moment. It's important for you to understand that all of you have a tendency to imagine God, to have a like a role model that God fits into. And part of that is helped by the use of the word Father, and even the word Father, Mother, God. The words Father, Mother, God. And so there's a tendency to look at God as a father with the characteristics of a human father, but totally spiritual, totally unflawed. Now, that's a limit. It's a limitation that you have to abandon. And when I tell you that you are confronted by nothing other than the kingdom of heaven, and that you need to be curious to see the more of what God is being, right where the universe seems to be, as the kingdom of heaven, I'm inviting you, and there is a necessity for you to be willing to be as non-conceptually open to the greater experience, willing to let it be unlike anything you've ever experienced. I don't mean foreign. And when I say unlike, I don't mean that it's really going to be strange or weird or unlike. The necessity is, though, for you to be willing to let it be unlike anything you've ever experienced, so that you might not be providing a filter through which the presence of God must pass in order to get to you, and thus deprive you of the full experience of what you would have experienced without the filter there. In other words, to put it simply, you need to be willing to be completely open. Now, here's some of the practical realism. God gave the sonship to you. Now, that's somewhat comprehensible. We've discussed it before. We've discussed the fact that your completeness is constituted of everything that exists, including your brothers and sisters. That your brothers and sisters ultimately are some aspect of the infinitude of you, the infinity of you. They are essential to you, and you are essential to them, because together you all constitute wholeness. Now, that sounds wonderful. Something to be looked forward to. And I know you hope that somehow God or the Holy Spirit can wave a magic wand and you would have the experience of harmony and unity with all of your brothers and sisters. But that's not the way it's going to work. Learning is going to have to happen. Change is going to have to be allowed. You're going to have to be willing to look at your brothers and sisters, especially the ones you don't like, and especially the ones who don't like you, and be willing to have your mind be transformed by a renewal process. The renewal process will not occur, though, if you're not intent upon learning. If you're not intent upon changing the status quo. If there are those who say you are their enemy, what's going to change that so that this gift of the sonship that God gave to you as part of your wholeness can be experienced without strife? Well, somehow, these ones who consider themselves to be your enemy, you must make friends with. Ooh. Somehow those who you don't like, you're going to have to find a way to make a friend. Well, you know you have a few people who don't like you. You know that you have some people you don't like. And you probably don't think too much about the fact that globally there are people who don't like you just because of where you're from. And if you were to sit down and look at it, you'd be surprised to find that you spend every day of your life in the midst of tension caused by your negative feelings toward people and others' negative feelings toward you, even those you've never met, those who have never seen you, but who are nevertheless harboring negative feelings about you. And as you look at that, you could say, my God, I'll never wake up. God gave the sonship to me to ensure my perfect creation. This was his gift, for as he withheld himself not from me, he withheld not his creation from me. Some gift. At least, I guess I understand a little bit that I have created a mess out of a gift, and others in their sense of their orphanhood have made a mess out of the gift. And there are so many people, there are so many who don't like me, and so many that I don't like, and they probably are not any more willing than I am to suddenly be friends with the people we don't like. It's impossible. Well, see, that's thinking. And if you pay attention to the thinking, there will be a learning. You will be distressed. You will be discouraged. And you might even be immobilized. That's not good learning. What you need to understand is something that you can't figure out for yourself. What you need to understand is that when you genuinely turn to the Father, by whatever name you call him, and you desire of him to know the truth, or if you turn to the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, and ask to know the truth. And the truth is revealed. I'm going to tell you that no matter what the details of the question might have been, you're going to get not only the answers to the details, but you're going to get like an upfront package, one that's automatically included in any answer to any question that you address to the Father. This package is an experience of being loved. Very simply. It's to find yourself loved. And those who have allowed a holy instant and had the experience have not yet forgotten it. Now, the important point here is that when you feel loved by God, something happens to your mind. It is transformed. And the first part of the transformation is that it seems totally reasonable for you to be loved this way. In other words, there's a learning that has already occurred that you have not yet put into words. And that learning is, I am lovable. You just experience it. You are moved by it without words. There's no need to think about it. It's just the truth. You just know it. And in that transformation, where you have joined with the Father first, you find yourself having a brand new experience regarding your brother. You can't mistake the fact. It's a new experience of a fact that your brother's just like you. Lovable. And loved by God just like you are being loved by God. And it's just as it's totally reasonable for you to be loved, it's, in your mind, totally reasonable that your brother or sister is loved by God with, and you know, with all the fullness that you're experiencing of God's love for you. And so you find yourself spontaneously embracing your brother, whom you thought it was going to be impossible to embrace. In fact, you will be able to embrace all of your brothers that had been called enemies. Because you know they're lovable. Because you know you're lovable first. Because you let God love you first before you looked upon your brothers and engaged in a holy relationship. Not on purpose, not because you said, oh, I'm going to have a holy relationship with my brother. All of a sudden you were having a holy relationship with your brother because you had learned by virtue of God's love for you how holy you were. Now that's learning, and that is learning that transforms your mind because your mind was renewed. You see? That's why it's so important, it's imperative to turn to the Father first, whom you have the real relationship with. The holy instant and real relationships. I'm going to start this paragraph over again because now it will have even more meaning. Think but an instant on this. God gave the sonship to you to ensure your perfect creation. This was his gift. For as he withheld himself not from you, he withheld not his creation. Nothing that ever was created but is yours. Your relationships are with the universe. This is a brand new kind of experience. Your relationships are with the universe, and this universe, being of God, is far beyond the petty sum of all the separate bodies you perceive. You see, your discouragement would come from the petty sum of all the separate bodies you perceive. And how on earth, given their backgrounds and your background and their likes and dislikes and your likes and dislikes, how on earth could this gift of the sonship that was given to you ever become a gift you would want because it felt so good to be one with the whole? But that problem becomes a non-issue, you see. You don't have to learn how to make the petty sum of all the separate bodies you perceive become harmonized. That's not what's called for. What's called for is a transformed mind, where learning has occurred that causes vision to be true and accurate. Now, here's a little bit more of the practicality of the translation of radical idealism into practical realism. When you have this experience, this holy instant, in which you feel God's love for you, and you immediately understand your brothers and sisters and their lovability because of what they so clearly, divinely are, as you're now seeing things, it doesn't mean that your brothers and sisters are going to see themselves that way yet. But you know what? Now that you've had this experience, you have the basis and the premise for making friends. Because you're no longer blinded by your prejudices. And so you will have to engage in the pleasurable work of creating friendships, inviting them, allowing them, nurturing them. Something you will have, I'm going to say, the stamina to do, because the vision will never leave you. Just as those of you who have had the vision have never lost it, in the slightest. The point is, it is to be the basis for being with your brothers and sisters in new ways. Your relationships are with the universe, and this universe being of God is far beyond the petty sum of all the separate bodies you perceive, for all its parts are joined in God through Christ, where they become like to their Father. And you know what? When God loves you and you feel it, and you suddenly discover that you are lovable and worthy of that experience of being loved, you will know what the Christ is, and you will know it is you, because you will know you are God's son. You will know you are God's daughter. You will know that you are his perfect self-expression, and that is the Christ. For all its parts are joined in God through Christ, where they become like to their Father. For Christ knows of no separation from his Father, who is his one relationship, in which he gives as his Father gives to him. You see the steps? His Father gives to him, and he gives as his Father gives to him. That's what happens as a result of the two-step. That's what happens as a result of the holy instant. That's the movement and action of the holy instant. The Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, is God's attempt to free you of what he does not understand, of what God does not understand. And because of the source of the attempt, it will succeed. Well, God is the source of the attempt. And it is God's attempt. The Holy Spirit is God's attempt to free you of what he does not understand. The Holy Spirit asks you to respond as God does. For he, the Holy Spirit, would teach you what you do not understand. What you do not understand. God would respond to every need, whatever form it takes. And so he has kept this channel open to receive his communication to you, this channel being the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind. He has kept this channel open to receive his, God's, communication to you and yours to him, yours back to God. God does not understand your problem in communication. That's what God doesn't understand. There is no problem in communication, actually, and God experiences only that which actually is. So, God does not understand your problem in communication, for he does not share it with you. It is only you who believe that it is understandable. It's that orphan mentality. The Holy Spirit, now listen to this, the Holy Spirit knows that it is not understandable, and yet he understands it because you have made it. In him alone lies the awareness of what God cannot know and what you do not understand. Now, there's nothing mystical here about it. That which is nothing more than your right mind is your right mind in its totality, which includes this little boundaried off portion of it in its totality, of itself in its totality. And it knows exactly how you are maintaining the boundaries, because, of course, you're using it, the Holy Spirit, to create these artificial boundaries and then convince yourself that they're real. You see? So you're using the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, to create an artificial experience. Something that God, who created you, cannot understand. So, the Holy Spirit knows how it's being done. The Holy Spirit recognizes the mental sleight of hand, you might say, that you are using with your mentality in order to have this artificial experience that you're having, and therefore knows exactly how to undo it. It's that simple. Again, the Holy Spirit knows that it is not understandable, and yet he understands it because you have made it. In him alone lies the awareness of what God cannot know and what you do not understand. It is his, the Holy Spirit's, holy function to accept them both, and by removing every element of disagreement, to join them into one. He will do this because it is his function. The Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, will demonstrate sanity in every part of itself, because sanity is the only thing that's actually there, and you do not have the will to maintain the illusion indefinitely. It is not a capacity the Father gave you. Leave then what seems to you to be impossible. To him who knows it must be possible because it is the will of God. Now, let's be careful here. Leave then what seems to you to be impossible to him who knows, blah, blah. Well, don't just leave it to him. And continue to have your day in the orphanage day after day. Leave it to him in the sense of not trying to imagine what the new learning will be, without trying to come up with an answer that must necessarily be built from materials you already have at hand, and the only materials at the moment you have available to you are the ones provided by the orphanage. And they're not going to get you out of the orphanage. So you abandon every attempt that you might be inclined to bring to bear upon the problem. Abandon every one of those and turn the problem over to the Holy Spirit with great attention. And I cannot stress that strongly enough. Leave what seems to you to be impossible to him who knows it must be possible because it is the will of God. And what? Let him whose teaching is only of God teach you the only meaning of relationships. That is what you must be diligently attentive to, else learning will not occur. Change will not occur. And at the bottom line, change is going to have to occur in order for peace to show up on your planet, or anywhere else you may take your imagination. A bunch of you could all migrate to the moon, and another bunch of you could all migrate to Mars and set up colonies and be the forefront of evolution. Glory, hallelujah. And never have learned a thing. Never have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. Never having arrived at a place where you don't have to guard yourself against your brother, because you don't like him, and he doesn't like you, and it's not natural to like each other. It's natural to be suspicious, because you're all undependable. You're all undependable. You're undependable, and they're undependable. And you rely on that. You base your laws, you base your behaviors on that. You're committed to that. None of you are dependable. None of you are trustworthy. Bullshit. Or as Paul likes me to say every once in a while, camel dung. Now, let him whose teaching is only of God teach you the only meaning of relationships. For God created the only relationship which has meaning, and that is his relationship with you. Well, don't jump to imaginative conclusions. That doesn't mean that you will end up having a relationship with God and no one else, as though all of your brothers and sisters were part of an illusion, when the only relationship there really is with your Father. you could jump to that conclusion and have another false learning and set yourself back so that you don't dare do the two-step. You don't dare to practice the holy instant. You see, you can't know that your fellow man that your fellow men are your brothers and sisters if you don't know that you have a father. If you think you're an independent free agent that has no first cause that isn't yourself, then you have no capacity to experience your fellow men as your brothers and sisters. Your real relationship is with your Father, and it is your connection with your Source that connects you with everything else in the universe. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Automatic. It's called learning. It happens in the holy instant when you actually let yourself be undefended enough to let God in and feel his love for you and feel your worthiness of his love. You see, learning, the learning that will count, will be the learning of things you don't know about at the moment. And yet, your prayers tend to be to ask God to conform your the grounds of your orphanage and the goings on in your orphanage to fix them, to improve them, to make what you have better, but still in the same mold, you see? This learning that is so important, this renewal by the transforming of your mind is going to require you to be undefended against miraculous revelation. Miraculous revelation that will not snap you out of the world and universe, but will snap you out of a perception of the world and universe. That won't just allow peace on earth, goodwill toward men, to come to view. It will impel it. Not with willfulness. Like setting up rules in the orphanage so that there won't be any dissonance. But change that happens because you understand the truth. You have the experience of the truth. You're having trouble, or your country is having trouble, or the company you work for is having trouble, or your marriage is having trouble. And you ask for the specific trouble to be fixed. You ask God to fix that. And yet, what's that package that comes along with your contact with God whenever you let God in a holy instant. The package that you get that you didn't even ask for and that you're not really expecting the first few times is an awareness that you are loved by God and that you deserve it, that you actually are lovable. You can't explain it, and you're not interested in explaining it. It doesn't matter to you why the truth is that you're lovable. You just know it, and you accept it, and you live with it, and you let it be. Now, that's what you get when you ask for this situation or that situation or the other situation to be resolved the way you think it ought to be resolved. Because you know what principle is, and you know what love is, and so on, you see. You don't know what to ask for. Ask anything. Ask anything. But don't get hung up on the request. Don't get hung up on the prayer. Get hung up on the connection. Do whatever it takes to let God in. And the whatever that it takes is you abandoning self-assertive concepts about how things ought to be working, or self-assertive concepts about how God ought to answer you. You see. So tonight we're learning about learning. As the ego would limit your perception of your brothers to the body, so would the Holy Spirit release your vision and let you see the great rays shining from them, so unlimited that they reach to God. Wow. Now, did you think that was going to happen when you wanted a better salary, or when you wanted so-and-so to mend his ways or pay you back for what he stole from you? See, don't think too small. As the ego would limit your perception of your brothers to the body, so would the Holy Spirit release your vision and let you see the great rays shining from them, from your brothers. So unlimited that they reach to God. Now, there have been questions in the past about what the great rays are, and I began to touch on them last week when I spoke about effulgence. Effulgence is a glow. You might call it a streaming of light from a center. It doesn't move forward. It doesn't move backwards. It is a radiance. Rays. Now, what is this effulgence that I spoke of last time? It's the radiance of love. There are not many rays, you know, like particular colors. This color, the red ray or the blue ray or the purple ray. The rays are the effulgence of love. And I've discussed before that love is light. Love is illumination. And love is the substance of everything. Where does the effulgence come from? See, Now, mind you, we're talking about things you haven't had the experience of before and that you might not be expecting when you say, God, I really need you to get that guy to pay me back what he stole from me. You see, you might not be expecting this, and I'm wanting you to stop being so narrow in your desire to know the truth, in your desire to learn, and in your willingness to let your mind be transformed, renewed, you see. Absolutely everything that exists, every idea in the mind of God, its substance is light. Its substance is love. And that love is an effulgence that, of course, fills all of infinity, radiating from everything. The reason being that everything is lovable, and therefore everything is actually loved by God. The love is part of the gift God gives His creations. Because His extension is motivated by love. And so what He is being there in all of His creation is registered by the great rays of love, effulgent love, emanating and, as it says here, so unlimited that they reach to God. Well, of course, they reach to God because when you're in this place, when you're in this awakened state, you can see that because your attention has been given to God, and your attention on God has caused you to have this transformed experience, your attention has returned to God, and that completion of the circle of awareness, you might say, demonstrates to you the natural, eternal state of being that everything is engaged in. And so you can see and experience the full circle of radiance. Now remember, the great rays are simply the rays of effulgence of one thing, love, the Father's love. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was Himself. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was verily God. And likewise, the Son, God's creation, looks at God and sees Himself and knows that it is good and can be nothing else. This is real learning. It is this shift in vision which is accomplished in the holy instant. Yet, it is needful for you to, here's that word, learn. Yet it is needful for you to learn just what this shift entails, so you will become willing to make it permanent. which means so you will be willing to commit yourself to it. Given this willingness, it will not leave you, for it is permanent. You see, it had never left, ever. Right now, when you're not having the experience, doesn't mean that it has left you. It's there. It's present. It's here. It's your very being, insisting upon you being willing to embrace it. For once you have accepted it as the only perception you want, see, that's where the commitment lies. For once you have accepted it as the only perception you want, it is what? Translated into knowledge by the part which God Himself plays in the atonement. For it is the only step in it He understands. Therefore, in this, there will be no delay when you are ready for it. God is ready now, but you are not. There's no penalty. You're not guilty for not being ready. Your unreadiness is not unredeemable. It just means that at the moment, you're not doing the two-step yet. At the moment, you're not letting in the fullness of what the transformation of your mind can mean. But you also haven't known what it could mean. And it's hard to have impetus or desire to do something you don't really understand. But we've uncovered more of the meaning here so that you can understand more. And even though understanding isn't the answer, it can lead you to the point of a willingness to become undefended, simple, vulnerable, with God, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, so that you can let it in and experience the holy instant. I will tell you that you are all bathed in the love of this lesson tonight. And you will remain bathed in it. And you will feel it if you don't insist upon the right to be angry or in charge. And even if you claim that right, you will at any moment be able to abandon it and return to the holy instant and return to the meanings that have been shared tonight so that you might be encouraged to actually practice the holy instant and allow for incredible learning. Incredible change. I love you all. And I look forward to being with you next time.